Good morning, all. Sort of got a question. What is the Trinity? I think it's one of the most difficult questions we as Christians have to answer or think about. The question sort of came up last year when we were doing a bit of Bible study with the girls, and the concept of, but how can God be three different people? How can he be in three different places at the one same time? And also, while we, over Christmas, friends of ours came up and they said they had had exactly the same conversation with their kids. Now, the best way I can always look at God is like water. He can be in three different forms. He can be a liquid, a solid, or a gas. But there's a perfect example within the Bible that shows us the true Trinity. And now that we've just celebrated Christmas, it's almost like it was just yesterday in its essence. Mary was the perfect example of showing us the Trinity of God, because God tells Mary that she's going to give birth to his son through the power of the Holy Spirit. God is great and gracious. God is faithful and good. He cares for everyone and everything, full of love and faithfulness. Now, throughout the Bible, we've got all these wonderful stories to tell us how great and gracious God is. But why are these stories so important for us? Because our image of God determines our own humanity. Our image of God determines our worldly views. Our image of God determines our willingness to believe. Our image of God determines our willingness to hope. Our image of God determines what we are prepared to do. Our image of God determines what we will give ourselves, even if we die in the process. Yeah. Where God is great in our lives, we are willing to venture more for him. Where God is gracious, we are willing to obey God. Where God is good and faithful, you're willing to trust God for all your needs. Where God cares for everything and everyone, where he is full of love and faith, you're willing to respond to the challenges that life throws towards you, even if it sometimes means trouble within your own life. Yet the opposite is also true. Where our image of God fades, you start to do the wrong things. You cannot stop from sliding down the slippery slope, starting to live according to your own needs. Where you start working towards the wrong, your idea of a God. You create your own gods. Live according to your own codes. Start to search for your own benefits. And it leads to exploitations. For example, the big farmer and the peasant. The king against his subjects. The mighty ones against the simple. Whole communities fall into immortality and anarchy, where God is no longer experienced and worshipped. And it is from this angle that we need to look at the Trinity. For the description of God as a Trinity is best and the greatest picture of what he is in our lives. It is his best explanation of who God is. It is the deepest picture of who God is. Mysterious, big, awesome, and unfathomable. Like a pool of water that cannot be measured, like the universe that we cannot see the end, yet bright and clear. And let no one tell you that this picture was just something created by the early churches. As it appears throughout the Bible, God shows us his way. Which leads us to tonight's scripture, actually. Like I just said, we just celebrated the Christmas. So the scripture I've chosen is Luke 1, verse 26 to 38. God is one being in three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled and this words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give you the throne of the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left. It almost ties into what we just sang. Let your will be done. Let your word be done in my life, Lord. So the Trinity and divinity, and the Trinity and the evidence from Mary's story is the perfect example of how we can look at the whole of the unity God. God the Father sent an angel to the Virgin Mary. He chose someone from the tribe of David, the tribe of Judah. In line with the promise of the Old Testament that the Messiah would be born out of David's descendants, the angel's assurance, the angel assures Mary that she is the gracious one, the one chosen by God. And as with many believers, throughout the angel assures her that God, Yahweh, is with her. As with Moses from the Old Testament in the burning bush, he is astounded and in wonder, but how can these things happen? The angel spells it out. The supreme mercy of God for her. You will conceive and bring a son into the world, and you must call him Jesus. And the angel also spells out the critical features of this boy. He will be great, and he will be the Son of the Most High, and he will be called Jesus, the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of David. He will be the Messiah, the one known as the King of the descendants of Jacob, the ruler forever. To his kingdom there will be no end. Sorry. He will establish the kingdom of God so that all believers, through the glory of God, can experience it. When Mary, as of Joseph earlier, asked, "How is this possible?" In her case, because I've never had intercourse with man, the angel then reveals to her the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. But this gives us a full picture of God, the Trinity. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will raise in you. Therefore, the one born shall be called Holy, the Son of God. And the angel confirmed this to her, mentioning Elizabeth, even in her old age, like Sarah of the Old Testament, also said to be barren, because nothing is impossible for God. And Mary bowed down in wonder and reality in the revelation of this Trinian God. "I make your disposable, Lord. Let it happen to me as you said." And the angel goes away from her because the greatest encounter has just happened. God conceiving, or Jesus' conception within Mary, and the birth of his Son, Son of God, the hope of the world, Jesus Christ himself. Heaven and earth, angels and people bow in reverence and awe before the miracle of this Trinian God, who materially connects them to the dust that we ourselves were created from, and transformed into mankind, who touches Mary so that the Son born to her can save us
through his birth. The birth of this man, Jesus Christ, the man from Nazareth, the son of Mary, the son of God. The Trinity is the biggest, brightest picture we have of God. The brightest picture in the scripture of God is that God is one being in whom three people dwell, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is an awesome description. It is an inconceivable description, but it is also a clear description. And that's what the Bible teaches us. The scripture teaches us. God the Father, the source of origin of everything, the providence, the one who cares for everything and everyone, the Most High, the Creator. God the Son. The Son is the Word, the image of the Father. He is the Savior, the one that best describes God for us, the one who prays for us, the first advocate, and then the Holy Spirit. It is the internal power and might of the Father and the Son. He's the comforter, the second advocate, the one closest to us, the one God is in us. And this is what the scripture teaches us. This is what we see in the case of Mary. This God is one in truth, goodness, kindness, and mercy. This God does not differ in his truth. Our God has got one truth. This God's power does not fight against each other, but stand united. He is one power. The God is good through and through. He is one in goodness. We can rely on him in everything. This God is merciful, full of love and faithfulness. This God will never let you down. This God is one. One God, one being, in whom there are three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is what Scripture teaches us from one side of the Bible right through to the other side, in the Old and the New Testament. In Genesis, God is spoken about in the plural. In Genesis 1, let's make man in our representative, our image. Abraham welcomes three people who later turned out to be God himself. God is revealed as the Almighty, the All-Seeing, the Omnipotent, Omnipresent. Eventually, he's revealed as the Father, already in the Old Testament. From the orphans and the protectors of the widows, writes, the Father who can call, we can call on any emergency, the one who can save. Because as a father has mercy on his children, so the Lord have mercy on those who fear and serve him. The Almighty Father. Then the Son, this God, the Almighty, however, reveals himself as the Father who generates a Son, already in the Old Testament. Later, in Psalm 2 verse 7, later the Son is connected clearly in the New Testament with Jesus, the Son of the Messiah, of Isaiah's prophecy. To us is born a Son, to us is given. He will rule, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty High, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. This is whom John says, In the beginning the Word was there, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. He was in the beginning with God. Everything came through him. Yes, not one thing that exists came without him. In him there was life, and life was the light for man. The light shines in darkness. The darkness cannot be extinguished. And this God reveals himself as a spirit. Also throughout the Old Testament, God has shown himself as a spirit. The spirit hovers at the beginning of time over the waters and creates order from chaos. He empowers people to do miraculous things. Think of the people that built the tabernacle. He empowered those people with the knowledge and the wisdom. The spirit rests on Joshua. In fact, Moses sees the day that the Spirit will lay on all. And in Numbers 11 verse 29, and that prayer became true on the day of Pentecostal when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all believers. And it's not just out of the Trinity text or from the church's history, but throughout the Bible we can experience God and His fullness. And this is what the New Testament particularly teaches us. So when Mary confronted this wonder of a virgin birth, then she says yes, because the Trinian God is capable of the impossible. And it is clear that the Trinian God is involved. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will cover over you. Therefore the child will be born, will be called Holy and the Son of God. When Jesus is baptized in the River Jordan, then the Messiah, as God Himself, with the approval of the empowerment of the Father and the Spirit, it all comes together as He's baptized. He is my beloved Son, a child to my heart. When we accept the calling as believers to act as witnesses of Jesus Christ, we cannot commit ourselves because God has the Father has sent. When we accept the calling of believers to act as witness to the Lord, we can commit ourselves because God the Father has sent His Holy Spirit into our hearts so that we can receive Jesus Christ and to testify for Jesus Christ. The Spirit is the counselor. He is our testimony that we use for the Son of Man. And we have the most wonderful community with this Trinian God because we are God's children. He is our Father. God sent the Holy Spirit to live in our lives. The Spirit is constantly calling out to our Father, Abba, Abba, Abba. Therefore, we can accept both the great assignment to make disciples as we embrace the promise of God's presence, that He will be with us till the end of time. So, the command is, go make the nations my disciple and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I promise, may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. But why is this so important? Because the value of this picture of God as the Trinian God is great and grand. It is the brightest and deepest revelation of God we have. But it is also so that we can distinguish the truths from the falsehoods that are out there in the world. That we can distinguish when people want to take us from the shore into the ditch or lead us down the wrong path. Our salvation depends on our faith. Everyone who wants to be saved must believe this. If you only work with a God that is almighty, you have no one who can save you. If you do not in any way emphasize Jesus' humanity and that He is that He is also God, you have no redeemer between you and God. You do not have someone who can stand between you and God, forgiving your sins. The same applies to the person of the Holy Spirit. Without Him, you have no assurance that your preservation and faith will continue. If you only work with Jesus as a human, you may have someone with whom you can identify as an example, but He cannot be your Savior, because it is Jesus' simultaneous divinity that make Him reconcilable between you and God. If your Jesus is human, then He died on the cross and has not risen from the dead, and you do not have someone who can save you. For your salvation revolves around the real resurrection of Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God. The same applies if, on the other hand, you would emphasize Jesus' divinity, but you deny that He was really human. Such a Jesus cannot really have compassion with your sins and your brokenness. He cannot save you either, because he does not understand it from a human point of view. And if your spirit of, if your picture of the spirit is just downgraded to just a thought of God, you don't have someone who lives in you and will be with you forever. Have you ever wondered how you will make it in persevering in your faith if you do not have the Spirit? Have you ever wondered how you will make it in eternal life so that you will not lose the gift of God because of your humanity? Well, it is the Spirit that is responsible for you and your faith. So in conclusion, the revelation of God as a Trinity is the most important teaching of God that we must hold on to. In it lies the wealth of God himself, keeping it locked up for us, in us. God is the Father. God the Father is the source and the origin of everything. He is the providence, the one who cares for everything and everyone, the Most High, the Creator. This is what the Scripture teaches us. God the Son is the Word, the image of the Father. He is the Savior, the one that describes God for us, the one who prays for us, the first advocate, the one who himself is God. This is what the Scripture teaches us. And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit, the internal power of the mighty, of the might of the Father and the Son. He's the Comforter, the second advocate, the one closest to us, the God in us. This is what the Scripture teaches us. Our God is not a 1 + 1 + 1 God, because as any kid would tell you, that's 3. But rather, our God is a 1 × 1 × 1, which is still 1. But make no mistake, it's this teaching that is under enormous threat in our communities and in, even in some churches. Therefore, you cannot only immerse yourself in the wonders of the Trinity without also signing up to the struggles that are involved with it. Amen.